everybody. Welcome to the latest episode of Sink or Be Sunk podcast. I am your host, Helicopter Rescue. And today we have a great lineup of guests, including my co-host, Doomlock. Unfortunately, Thunder is not able to join us because he's been sick the past couple of days. But my thoughts and wishes are with him. Hopefully he'll get better soon. But you might notice that I didn't immediately say that Doomlock is my co-host, and I said I have a great lineup. Well, that's because we also have the Wiki team here today, and it's a little bit weird because Doom is a co-host and a guest. So we'll see how this works out, but it's going to be a good episode. This is the top of the season, so there's not a specific topic to talk about, but we'll be discussing a lot of different things, including the upcoming Corgi weekend, some of our reflections on the past season, some of the things that the Wiki guys do and how the Wiki is, and let me not forget to mention that we also have Super Nico Power in this episode. That's right, guys. The one and only Corgi Overlord is here.
How could you forget me?
I just wanted the suspense to build up a little bit and kind of surprise them.
Surprise! Our two main weapons are fear and...
Oh, gosh. Anyways, as you guys know, Corgi signups have closed, and this coming Saturday, Saturday and Sunday is the Corgi weekends, where there will be multiple Corgis out there. So get your,
swarms.
Swarms. And I mean, some of the Corgis go crazy out there. So
what are the dates for that again, Hella?
I believe the dates are as follow.
The schedule starts February 16th, 5 p.m. Pacific time, and runs to Monday the 19th, ending at 4:59 p.m. Pacific time.
That is correct.
It's going to be I was a Corgi last time. And I had a lot of fun doing it. It was just so fun. I just had so much fun. And, it was reflected across a lot of the other Corgi members. And it's going to be, it's going to be amazing going out there and just surprising people and, rewarding people and stuff. And each Corgi has their own philosophy and approach to how they play their count. And it's kind of interesting to talk to them, and you have people that don't want to be killed and try their hardest not to die. You have people that they make sure that every match they try to get killed, but they still play.
The ones that are really being hard to get, or playing hard to get, we just make sure that at the end of the event they get maybe one or two less treats than all the other Corgis do that are playing and having fun here.
They get put in the cage.
That's right. Throw them in the kennel.
So here's the whole thing about Corgi Fleet that's interesting is that, as you're saying, people have different philosophies in the way they play. And what actually makes it funny is the fact that usually the ones who try to not get sunk are the ones who are sunk first. And it's hilarious because they try to play hard to get, and they'll hang out in the back of the map, or they'll do whatever they need to. And if they find out, all of a sudden the red ships just slowly start to move on over and then wreck them.
Yeah, they all see the message at the beginning. Ooh, prizes. And then they see that Corgi captain name, that guy. I sink him, I get stuff. And then their the priority target counter proceeds to tick up to 5, 6, 7, 8.
And then they look you up too, and they're like, oh, I know who I'm fighting against.
Yep, I once had 12 priority lock on from planes to ships. It was done.
I knew someone got it. I knew someone had to have gotten that.
Yeah, kill stealing was fun. They were all very, very angry.
So, Nico, like, when you came up with this, idea, this project, what kind of inspired you? Like, how did you think of this? And when you took it up to the bosses, like, what were their reactions?
So, before World of Warships, I was on World of Tanks console for, Xbox, Xbox One, or Xbox 360, Xbox One, and then ultimately PS4. And we had sheriff accounts, which you can automatically put on tanks, and they would go around and shoot stuff. And if they were destroyed, the person would automatically get, I forgot it was like 500 gold or something like that. So what ended up happening was I wanted to do this, and I ended up getting moved over to World of Warships, and I really wanted to do this. I thought I was super excited. Then all of a sudden I realized I didn't have the tools to do it. And it was going to have to be a 100% manual process, which is fun because I was the manual process. And so I was like, well, let me see if I can plan this out. And I didn't tell anybody I was planning it out. I just wanted to come up with like framework and just see if it would even work like in my head. And ultimately I came up with a super solid process, and I didn't exactly ask permission. I just said, hey guys, I have this idea and I'm doing it I think the first one was a President's Day weekend. I don't remember. I'll have to go back and look. I know I've done two President's Day weekends. But yeah, basically I was like, I'm just going to do this, and nobody said no. And it foolishly, they didn't say no. And so, it started off with, I think it was 72 corgis signed up, and these are people I reached out to individually. So it's like CCs, wiki teams, all this stuff, super testers and employees. We got 72 signed up, but only 56 played, and everybody got really, really angry because we made a huge deal about this, and nobody could find a corgi at all for the entire weekend.
Well, if I could jump in. From my perspective as a corgi, there were a lot of people that thought that I was completely blowing smoke up their butts and completely lying. They didn't believe me. I would announce myself, and the response would be, F you.
Yeah, I remember that first weekend because there was a tremendous amount of skepticism that these people jumping into game and broadcasting Kill Me and Get Free Stuff, everybody thought they were lying.
Right. Definitely, and that was part of the problem was, I didn't know how big it was going to be, but I didn't want it to be too big. So we didn't put it on, the World of Warships .com portal page. I didn't want to put it there. We didn't put it all over social media. We didn't put it all over everywhere. We talked about it on a Warships Live. And then I put it on the forums, and that was it. And from there, it just blew up to, at first it was 56, and then it was 80, and then it was 130, and then 152, and now 200, and I'm thinking, without looking over my numbers, 224 corgis. So, yeah, it's going to be something.
I think I recall vaguely the first one, or maybe it was the second one. It was one of the first two I remember seeing on the forums when you mentioned it. And I think it was by the third one that was like, if you need volunteers, I'm here.
Yeah,
I remember
definitely.
Mentioning it.
And you then, and everybody course, on Reddit.
And then finally, like, the signups for the fourth one, the previous one, came up. And then, a lot more people were able to, sign up. Just the general normal player base could throw their hat in the ring and become a corgi.
Yeah.
And that's how we became a
corgi. That's about it. I mean, yeah, the signups was weird. I can give you a little insight in that. Initially, I was just like, hey, this sounds like a good idea. And I was absolutely terrified because my problem is I had no control at that point, right? So, like, I had gotten my small group of people, you know, that some people did have some priority entries, right? So I was like employees, that was CCs, the wiki team, super testers, because I knew that they would be there. After that, it's like, okay, I want to make this bigger. And I made it bigger. And I had to go through and, you know, I had to figure out realistic requirements, right? Because 100 battles to a person who in a month to a person who's committed can easily do that. I've seen people do 400 battles. Over the last Corgi fleet, one guy did 300 battles in the weekend.
Oh, I know exactly who that is, too.
Yeah, and I'll tell you right now, too. I went and looked at the stats of that account. That wasn't sandbagging. He actually did 173. He actually sank 173 other ships. So there was no sandbagging. There was just no sleep. So
I don't think he did from my memory.
That's what I understand. But, you know, this whole thing has become a huge learning process. You know, the first one didn't have any focus blocks. The second one had them. And then the third one, they just got tighter and tighter. And so now players are finding Corgis pretty much almost every battle, from what I'm understanding. And I set a record for the most doubloons ever given away for a contest at 3.75 million doubloons. And you guys can do that math on your own. It's not very hard. I'm not going to say the number. But now that we've added almost another 80 Corgis, oh, make my pockets lighter, folks.
Yeah, you're going to shatter that again.
100%.
I got to throw in real quickly. You talked about the focus times, you know, the Corgis will be playing, you know, this class of ship in this tier for this block. Those are brilliant. I don't know whose idea that was, but that really makes it a lot more likely to run into somebody. And you've got that fun of maybe ducking down to playing a tier or a class of ship that you don't normally play or you don't typically like. But hey, you're throwing the dice and you're trying to get a Corgi kill. And I really love that. That makes it a lot of fun.
Yeah, so that was after the second one. That was after the first one, when everybody messaged me very, very angry. then the second one, what I realized was I had just created focus blocks with no ship type, and so that still, you know, it upped the encounter rate, but it didn't completely up it. And so I just constantly kept coming up with ways to where I actually realized that if I do it not just by tier, but by class, it narrowed it down even more because people knew which ships basically not to pick to actually be able to land in with the destroyer or whatever. But there was one mistake. There was one very bad time with one of the Corgi fleets. And I think the guys who took part in this actually remember this. And it's kind of a funny story. It won't take very long, but basically it was during rank season. And during rank season, that rank season was 6. So right when we hit the tier 6 cruiser section, it overloaded the server because there are too many instances. And people would go to click into battle, and it would say that the servers are at maximum capacity. And so it was 2 or 3 hours of people not always getting to play. And then once we went to tier 8, all that stopped. So I broke the server. It was fun.
I remember that.
Once, I think it was the third event and this most recent event. I don't remember if you put the link on the portal for the previous one, didn't you? I think I remember it for the previous one.
Yeah, I did. Okay. We did put the link, the sign up, and that's what's really weird. We put a sign up and we only got 300 like people who actually wanted to take part. And this time we got 1,300, and it was very hard to tell basically over 1,000 people, I'm sorry. I couldn't say sorry enough for how many PMs I got, messages on Reddit, in-game messages. Oh man, did I get in-game messages.
Oh boy.
That's awesome.
Now that you've mentioned that you're leaving Wargaming, less and less people are coming to ask you, you know, questions and stuff. Like, I'm quite surprised that it rose back up with the Corgi.
If you look at the forum tag, Corgi Enthusiast, he is the Corgi guy.
Yes, and you can actually thank Trevzor for that. He thought it would be funny to go in and change my tag. And players like kind of said, yeah, that makes sense, and I kept it.
you know, that's not the only thing that, you know, Nico has had a lot of success with. I know for a fact that I enjoy doing and slash playing the weekly or, you know, the bi-weekly contests that you always have. And I've won a couple of them, and I've won some cool ships and doubloons and stuff. When you are coming up with a contest, like, how do you approach it? How do you brainstorm the idea, I guess?
So there's actually a few ways that you do it. One, look at what ships are coming out, right? Because, you know, if there's no ship coming out, you know, for a while early on, you know, we had ships kind of sporadically coming out. They weren't pretty much every update now. So basically what I would do is I'd look at what ship's coming and then try to find a comparable ship that is not a premium, because what I learned is if you use a premium ship, people get really, really mad because they feel like I'm catering to the wallet warrior, as they call them. So what I end up doing is finding a ship that's like kind of comparable in the tech tree, which is pretty good because, you know, most of our ships that come out, with the exception of a few that go up or down, they're usually in that, you know, tier 4 to 6 range. You know, and of course we've had all the way up to 8 with, you know, stuff like Alabama and all that. And then I just kind of look at it and I say, okay, what does this ship do? So recently, as you guys saw, I changed the formula a bit. And now we have like kind of a qualifier and then ribbons. So like you take out Atlanta. Atlanta loves to light fires. So why don't I do an arsonist one? You know what I mean? Where you have to get arsonist and then set on fire. And then the prize is whatever ship is, you know, close to it or whatever, you know, what is it in the tech tree? There's only one time I ever actually kind of changed how I did it. And it was when Krasnikrem came out. If you guys remember how fun that was. A lot of people were saying Krasnikrem was terrible. So I went and I ran a contest and actually did it for both. The people who own Krasnikrem would play battles, and then they would upload their screenshots for fun, but I would still pull the records in the back end. And then I don't remember, I think I actually just opened it up to like two different other ships of its tier and its, you know, and its class, and turned out that Krasnikrem was actually doing better than those other two ships. So everyone was saying, oh, it's a terrible ship. It's not necessarily a terrible ship. And you guys know what I've always said, a ship's only as good as its captain. So, you know.
Yep. I think that was the Kirov, was the opposite ship.
You might be right, actually. I could probably go back and look, but it'd take too much time. But I actually think you're right. I think I chose Kirov, and I thought I chose another one, but I don't remember. But that's how I come up with those. Other than that, art contests, you know, players love art contests. I really found out that the players on the forums love writing contests. They absolutely love those things. So I turned those into participation awards. You know, nobody won anything huge, but they all got something. So
I gotta say, the one of those you did recently for USS Chicago, was it?
Yes.
That one was really good. The winning entry for that one, I was really impressed with the poem. That was fantastic. Really well done.
Well, definitely. So what has ended up happening to that was the beginning of kind of my handoff of things. And so Super Splash Bro, he had shown up onto ships. So I wanted to help him make a contest. So I basically mentored him in that one, and he actually came up with that whole one after I was like, dude, writing contest kill. He did a ton of great work and research on Chicago to figure out just how to go. And then, of course, you get the ship that is the same ship, more or less, in our game. But yeah, that stuff, I tell you, writing contests on the forums are probably the most rewarding out of all of them, just to read what people can really actually put in if they don't try to steal it from the internet.
I remember entering one of those. I think it was you. The one was about why you're a collector or something to that effect, or why you have so many ships in your port or something like that.
Yep.
If I remember. I remember I entered that one. I think that was one of the only ones I'd entered. I didn't enter many contests over the years, though. Granted, my community interaction slowly got more involved over the past year and a half and stuff.
The community, but at least the Corgi Fleet guys, you know, have a lot to thank you for, because you created the Discord that all the Corgi Fleet members get to hang out in, past and present, which is awesome. And you've managed to keep that going even when there's not a Corgi fleet in sight at the time. So I have to thank you for that, because that's pretty amazing.
Thanks. It was inspired. While I was looking at the original like coordination thread that I'd made for it, someone on there had mentioned, like, you know, why don't we make a like Discord server for it and ever? And I'm like looking like, you know, I can do that. And so we can just went and made it. And I'm like, build it out a little bit, grab a few of the Corgis, and obviously I pinged you about it, saying, you know, I built this out if you wanted to use it. And well, lo and behold, it worked extremely well, especially for helping coordination with the focus blocks and stuff.
Well, definitely. And the thing was, you know, this is back when I hated Discord. So I was like, I am not going to do a Skype thing, because just know, Discord was another app that I had to have open. And then you said that you're going to do this. And I actually think that you were your Discord channel was the first Discord channel I ever actually joined. And huh. I have like 27 of them, and it's just insane.
And, you know, there's a large and sizable warships community on Discord, you know, that use Discord either, you know, for interactions with the whole communities and, or, you know, for clans and stuff. I know Kraken uses Discord for their clan stuff and voice comms. You know, having, you know, a Corgi Discord catered to also a lot of the Corgis, you know, not every Corgi is going to be on there. Not every Corgi is going to be talking. There was, we found out there's a large, sizable amount of Corgis that did actually come on and chatted and went on voice comm to talk to each other.
The voice chat for in Corgi Fleet when the event was going was always had at least one or two people. On some of the bigger days, there was like 5 to 10 people in it. And I think on the final day, we had chalked it full of like, I think like 15 people or something like that, all in the same channel and doing some Corgi drops and getting a bunch of people to say battle. It was hilarious fun.
Yeah. It was definitely awesome. And like I said, I totally appreciate it. Definitely helped out a lot, because a lot of people stopped asking me questions directly and all you guys started answering each other's questions. So it was great.
Back to, you know, I just remembered back to the topic of the arts contests. A lot of us have been asking, you know, we've seen a lot of the damage, in-game damage. We've seen a lot of the, you know, writing. We've seen a lot of the, you know, all these contests, and we're like, where are the creative contests, Nico? You know what I mean? And
yep.
So we, I think one of the couple of first major creative contests that you made that I actually took part in and I really enjoyed doing was when you said, make a song out of the in-game sound bites. So, you know, capture the enemy base, you know, that type of thing. And I actually am a huge like audio/video editing person, so I actually really enjoy doing that, and I placed top 3, so I was quite happy, you know, just being involved and throughout the whole process and submitting it as just and getting ready for you to announce it on Warships Live, like, oh, who's gonna be number one, you know. It was not every person's gonna be able to do every type of contest, you know, and I really like that you had a whole set or, you know, different genres of, you know, contests that you were able to do, and, you know, they weren't necessarily not right after each other, but, you know, you would do one here and there and everybody would be able to participate pretty much.
Yeah, you know, I mean, this is part of the hard part, was trying to keep up with you guys, really. Because if I kept doing the same thing over and over and over again, you guys would get really annoyed. You wouldn't want to do these contests. And actually, yeah, you did come in third. That's pretty good. I'm just looking. I just happened to pull up the contest while we were talking. Sergeant Sully took that one. But, I mean, yours was really good. And, you know, you guys, I was always trying to, over the last 2 years, do things that challenged you guys, but also not just do the same thing over and over and over again. And that started to get really hard, because I realized there's only 5 kinds of contests that you can really run. You can run an art one, writing, video, musical, and in-game. Oh, and six, because builds as well. So you really only have that many types of contests to go through, and by the time you make it through, you're like, okay, so how do I theme this differently? How do I do this? How do I do that? What do we need? And that's where that, that music contest came from. We weren't so much doing it just for you guys. Worships Live needed music. And, and it was either go out and waste our time trying to find, music and go pay for copyright and go do all this and go do all that, or do what I wanted to do, which was involve the community. And we got really lucky because what was nice was, yeah, we only had that particular video from that Captain Bad Advice, but I think it was Chobitsu who actually came through and pulled out all of the in-game sounds and made it available for you guys. So that definitely made it even better. So we got a ton of great entries. And then, of course, look at the background contest. You're like, we need a background. So Tree Diagram comes in and makes an amazing background. And we're like, I don't know how to do all this, So it's great. It's always trying to stay a step ahead of you guys. And for the last 2 years, I think I did it. And it was a lot of fun. And I was always grateful for all the artwork and everything that you guys did.
Yeah, you did very, very well. I mean, I played a lot of different games, and I've been involved in a lot of gaming communities, and I mean, I've never come across a community manager who was as great and highly loved by the community as you are. And, I gotta say, not our NA community, a lot of people were jealous of. Like, for example, I know Corgi time or Corgi weekends come around, that on Reddit,
it's Corgi time.
On Reddit, people, they post threads, they post screenshots and stuff, and all the, Southeast Asia people and all the EU people are like, oh, why can't we have that, And it's always like, haha, we're the only ones that have that, sorry. It's always just too nice to rub it in their faces when it's that time of the year.
We'll see. When you get your own Nico power, then you can have it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I'm going to be a bit real here for a second because, I do hear... So here's a weird thing is that EU has actually gotten some really cool stuff that NA hasn't gotten. NA has some really cool stuff, that they have, that they don't have. And Asia's had some really cool stuff. I hear this all the time, and not just towards me, but towards the NA server and to other regions. None of them are really better than the other one. And I mean, I'm a player now, So I don't have a wargaming badge hanging on me right now. So my hat is off. But just overall, really when it comes down to it, all the regions are really good. I mean, with Mr. Conway and Tuki over there in EU and Candley, they're all great people. And they care about their community, I've heard back and forth. I've seen back and forth, and I've heard them say that we're a terrible, not obviously the employees, but the players, they say that we're terrible. And you know what? It's all player perception, and it's who's getting what they want at the time. So really what I will say definitely is that the EU guys are great. I've had a lot of fun working with them, and they have a lot of cool stuff in the works as well. So, I think that really the NA EU, all of them, who's better, it should just stop. Let's be real. I mean, as long as you're all enjoying the game and you're playing and you're divvying up with your friends, who cares? You know what I mean? Just have fun.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's like each server has their own flavor of things. It's enjoyable to see, and compare and contrast, the differences. And, like you said, at the end of the day, we're here, to have fun, division with people, and each, server is great on their own. And
when I had joined World of Warships' beta weekend back in March of 2015, as a game that I had been profoundly interested in ever since I had originally gotten into wargaming products with World of Tanks console. I was actually a beta tester for World of Tanks console too.
There you go.
I never went on the forums for that other than once. I can't even find whatever I had posted there anymore.
I'll find it.
But then I signed up for the alpha for WoW's. I never got into that, but I got into the second beta weekend and kind of lurked on the forums over 2015. Didn't really say too much during closed beta and stuff, but mostly just played. It wasn't until 2016, and really when I believe the German battleships started first arriving, especially Scharnhorst, because I had found in the forums a thread that had a bunch of colorized pictures of the naval vessels and everything. And so I'd started collecting a lot of those, and I'm like, well, people like to see these things. Why don't I just start putting them on here where everyone loves them? So I started doing that, as I know all of you guys have seen. And that's where a lot of my community, well, my forum interactions started coming out of. But I can remember, even as far as back as I can remember, I still remember that there was still that Corgi avatar even way back then.
Yeah, and you know what's funny about the whole Corgi thing is that it actually started on World of Tanks console. I told one player I like Corgis, and it just continued from there. And it snowballed into this super crazy thing that at this point, like, has taken on such a life of its own. Like, I was never thought that I would be branded in any way. And sure enough, you know, Corgi, when I started getting people sending like Corgi pillows to the office and and stuffed Corgis and like Corgi calendars and books. And I'm just like, I don't even know what to do with all this stuff. I was a little creeped out, I'll be honest, because that has never happened to me before. And then once it did, I started getting into it. I'm like, yeah, this is just how it is. And you know, I'm actually super honored to have actually had the community create that for me and to be able to make it so I can just go out and do it.
Yeah, I think after a period of time, you just became the NA forum mascot, basically.
That's definitely how I feel. I would agree with that 100%.
And I don't think anyone who really uses the forums on a regular basis would have had that any other way.
Yep, that's about it. It's been really cool, I tell you. You know, these guys, this community, all you guys that I have either met or I haven't met, which I know there's two of them in here who I finally did at Lexington.
Yep.
Lord Zath and Sea Raptor, which are awesome. And Sea Raptor sent me this ridiculously amazing like cake that didn't last very long. It was actually amazing. Finally to meet Lord Zath, which, you know, I knew a lot more about Lord Zath than he knew about me coming up before that summer. So I saw things he didn't know I saw until I told him he did. So, but yeah, like it was awesome to meet those guys, to meet all the players, you know, Zath and Sea Raptor hanging out with you guys, but almost the second half of Let's Battle Tour and all that stuff. That was great. I love meeting players, and it's really funny. This community job, especially for ships, because that's where I really started getting out there. I tell you, like, I am the most introverted person who is afraid and terrified of people as you could ever imagine. But this whole thing is like so brought me out, you know, to be able to talk to players, to be able to get on podcasts, to be able to do any of this stuff. It's been great. And the community has actually helped me with that. And it's been awesome. You know, and like I said, Zath, you know, you have been definitely have been super fan number one since way earlier than I can admit. And then, you know, Sea Raptor, of course, you know, I talked to you so many times. And then to see you at Lexington, it was like awesome to kind of meet people. And I'm sorry that you had to know more about Star Wars Galaxies than you ever wanted to know. But it was great. It was this job. I've worked with a lot of communities. I've done a lot of cool things. The players in World of Warships, foreign and domestic, basically, because I've talked to so many from all over the places. And just to see how far my reach has gone has been actually super amazing. And I appreciate everything that the community has done. And I honestly don't think you guys understand how well have you set me on for my future of working with community, because my confidence has gone through the roof and I've made so many cool friends. So, you know, I appreciate it. I appreciate all the players who I have talked to and who I haven't talked to, who I've played with, who I haven't, and who randomly call me out in game and scare me. It's all good. I love all you guys and I'm very lucky. Very lucky.
Yep. And We also love you back, and we really appreciate you and having you as our community manager. I mean, I've seen forum posts on Discord, on Reddit, and everything. It's just everybody has just appreciated you on, you know, every type of platform I see. You know, people are praising you, thanking you, and you know, we're sad to see you leave the post. But
yeah, but I'll tell you guys, Raider X, I have a lot of faith in that guy. And if you guys want to talk to a really cool guy who will be ultimately taking my place with a really good staff built up, I have total faith that they're going to treat you guys the same way I treated you. I hope not. I mean, I hope so, because if not, I'm gonna have to, I hope they do, because if they don't, then I'm going to have to go find them. And I know where they are, so that's not too hard. But yeah, I have total faith that you guys are all going to be treated well. And, you know, they're great guys. I've been working with Raider X, to make sure he knows everything I know, so that, you know, he's going to handle the crediting part of Corki Fleet. So I made sure that he knew how to do all that. And for those asking real quick, yes, I will be playing in Corki Fleet with you guys. So don't think I'm just like, here's this thing and I'm leaving. You know, it's just, you guys are going to see me out there, and it's going to be fun. And make Wargaming's pockets a little bit lighter, please.
Well, I think it's kind of ironic. If you're playing, that means that you're also helping to make Wargaming's pockets lighter.
I know, it is kind of weird. I am playing in my own event as a player, where I started creating this as an employee. So it's weird. It's a weird spot to have like this transition in the middle. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I also want the players to know I'm not dead. you know, so make sure, you know, you guys join up with me in game. You know, my name's not hard. It's the exact same as everywhere else. You know, Twitter, Twitch, and in game, it's all super Nico Power. You know, follow me, hang out with me. I'll be playing lots of games, including ships. I'm not abandoning ships. I might even start playing some planes. Don't worry about it.
Yep, and as you guys know, we always put the links and the contact information and everybody's stuff in the show notes, so you'll be able to find Nico's Twitter, Nico's Twitch, and all the lovely ways that you can get in touch with him in the show notes.
Well, you heard him. All you have to do is just write the Twitter, just write all that stuff, and then just copy paste Super Nico Power all in the end of it.
Every one of them, you'll find me. I guarantee. I actually did that on purpose. I had to actually go to Twitch and change it to Super Nico Power, which was, don't do it. It's such a hard thing to do. Twitter was easy because now you can change it as long as someone else doesn't have it, and the forums are super easy. But man, Twitch, oh geez. But yeah, you guys can hang out with me. I'm streaming all the time now. I'm having a lot of fun.
Well, Nico, we bid you farewell, and we wish you good luck with all your future endeavors.
Yep, appreciate it, and I hope well. I wish well for your podcast and for all of you guys. And I'm gonna obviously be in contact with you guys, and we'll all just hang out and we'll have some fun. And like I said, Zath, Sea Raptor, great to have finally met you guys. Helicopter, thank you for not just doing this, but hanging out, you know, in my Twitch stream and all those fun places. You guys are all great. And Doomlock, thank you for all your work. And and Craig the bot, you're a jerk.
He's still playing with himself.
I know, he's still over there. Craig is playing with Craig, so God, couldn't even be bothered to record this podcast. Thanks, buddy.
I'm gonna get out to some of these player events one of these days, and I'll find you at some point.
Well, if you guys ever come out to the Bay Area as super long, I gotta copy paste my name, Russell Smith from Warships Live, has put in there. There's always a good sub sandwich place around here, so come out and hang out. We'll go to Hornet, we'll do whatever.
Cool.
Yeah,
wait,
thanks for having me on.
Yep, thank you so much, Nico.
Thank you for joining us, Nico.
So as you guys
gotta hate that guy.
Oh gosh, as you guys know, our other guests, Lord Zath and Sea Raptor, are here. We're going to be talking about some of the wiki stuff and what's going on over there and how they kind of do their thing and how awesome the wiki can be, especially if you're trying to find, you know, information, resources, and stuff like that. I've met these guys, you know, throughout many different things, and it's nice to have them on the podcast finally. I've wanted to have these guys on the podcast for a bit, and it's good to have them on here. And interestingly enough, our giveaway, our last giveaway about two episodes ago, Sea Raptor was one of the winners.
I was more than a little shocked when you tagged me. You're like, "Hey, you won the big prize." I was like, "I won something?"
Rigged. Rigged.
I know, right?
It was Rafflecopter, so pretty much what you just do is you just click pick a winner, and then pick a winner for the prize, and then pick a winner, and it lets you, it randomly generate somebody and their entry, and you were right there, you popped up. I was like, I think I know this person, I'm not sure, let me confirm.
Yeah, we had a bit of a snafu there, trying to get me the prize. He forgot the double zero on my in-game name there. we got it straightened out. It was no big thing.
What did you win?
This was back at Christmas time, so I won a bunch of the high-end, mid-range or high-end, I can't remember, a bunch of the Santa crates, and I think 90 days premium.
Nice.
Yeah, it was nice. I got a lot of good stuff out of the crates. A lot of good doubloons and such.
Now you're forced to play the game for another 90 days.
Yeah, that's right. the difference, though, Zath, is that I actually spend my doubloons, so it's for me to have them coming in on occasion.
I like to look at them.
Yeah, believe me, we all know. For those of you that don't know, most of us give Zath crap for being... We call him Smog. We call him Smog affectionately because he hoards his doubloons and his free XP and his commander XP and almost flatly refuses to spend it. How much elite commander XP do you have right now, Zath? Are you back over 8 million again?
Yeah, it's just under 10 million.
Oh, excuse me. Up to 10 million, is that all?
Oh, under. It's just, yeah. Just under 10 million.
Just under.
Yeah, I'll get there someday. I wanted to ask about the doubloons because it's insulting to the rest of us. So,
Zath, why haven't you changed your name to Lord Smog yet?
Because that costs money.
I volunteer to pay for this change.
What am I going to change it to? Smog's Replay Theater? Like,
I love like, it. You know what? I would totally watch that. That would be awesome.
And here we have a Smog Bolt.
That's right.
Oh, that'd be great.
Oh, no.
And as everybody knows, and I've mentioned in previous episodes and show notes, Lord Zath does have a replay theater where you can send him, you know, replays, and he'll be able to, you know, what's the word I'm looking for?
Highlight?
Comment? Yes. Commentate. he'll be able to commentate on your playstyle and how you do during the match, and I have submitted a ranked replay, and I actually enjoyed a lot of his comments and what he said, and it is, I was in my Alabama, and a lot of the comments he made were true. I'm not a battleship player, and I played like it was a cruiser, and he did say, mentioned all the different stuff that I could have done better, and I've enjoyed going through those. Can you guys talk about, you know, some of the stuff that you guys do over there at the wiki and stuff like that?
Sure, Zath, you want me to do it, or?
Yeah, you go for it, man.
All right.
You're the leader, after all.
Oh, Lord. So, officially, by decree of Pigeon of War, I am the lead editor in the English wiki. At no point did I seek this job. It was kind of like I came in one day. We were still on Skype at the time as a group. And he goes, "Oh, by the way, I've chosen a new leader. It's you." Oh, what? So, yeah, you were voluntold. Welcome to the military. But so about, I guess it's coming up on about 2 years ago now. Pigeon, as he likes to tell the story, he came over to the Warships team. He was also tanks previously. And took a look at the kind of the state of the game's official Wikipedia and was... I don't know if it was a mix of horrified or dismayed or both, but obviously not happy. And in his opinion, his strong belief was that a reliable and regularly updated wiki, a source of information outside of the game, was not only good for the game, but it helped draw in players. It indicated an active community and so on and so forth. So he went about started recruiting people via forum contests to join the quote unquote official wiki editing staff. It's a fancy title that really means we're kind of pseudo community contributors. We're not like forward-facing CCs like you see on Twitch or YouTube or in the or big time in the forums. We're kind of, he likes to call us shadow CCs. That's probably accurate. We're kind of in the background. It's our job to kind of keep up the wiki, keep the wiki up to date with all the various changes that come out of the game. So that means new ship lines, new premiums, all of those pages have to get written. When there's a change to a game mechanic, when we add a new consumable, when the consumable stats are tweaked or changed, or there's a revision to a ship, we have to go back in all the different pages that affect have to get updated so that people can you know, keep tabs and have that data available to them outside of the game. It's also a place for us to post information that may or may not necessarily be available in the client. For example, if you go to the wiki right now and you look at the fire and the flooding pages, you can see the formulas that are used to calculate fire chance and flooding chance. And that can help you determine for yourself the value of skills or flags or whatever that might boost your flooding chance or your fire chance. The flooding chance on individual torpedoes is actually not in the client right now. It's something I've been bugging Pigeon about for a while, but you can find it in the wiki. I built a page. Somebody over on Reddit had data mined all of the torpedo data out of the game files, and so I built a torpedo page that has all of the torpedo data, which ships can carry that torpedo, and that flood chance number that allows you to see, to understand how the flood chance is calculated and what benefit you're actually might be getting out of flags or captain skills or that sort of thing. So there's a lot that goes on. A lot of it is, I'd say, right, it's probably half of it is new content because they're constantly putting new content in the game, whether that's campaigns or new ships. And half of it is trying to maintain and get caught up because we came in, you know, what, a year and a half behind. So a lot of the older ship lines, Japanese and American lines in particular, don't have a lot of good information on the ship pages. We're still trying to work through that backlog.
Absolutely. And I really like it because when a new ship is coming out or when something's happening, I always like go and reference that and try and see, you know, how the armament type is going to be, how, you know, what's the armor like or what's the AA values on it, whatever, when you guys get it in there. And you guys put a lot of hard work in there. We really appreciate that. A lot of people, unfortunately don't know about it, but we're trying to get the word out. We post it on Reddit and stuff, and hopefully we'll get more people, you know, that can catch the information or get to the information accurately, get accurate information and get to the information as quickly as they can.
I'll say we appreciate that. One of the best kept secrets, in my opinion, of the wiki itself is that you know, as soon as a ship is added to the live game client, okay, as soon as it moves, if you go read patch notes and you see a note about, you know, X ship has been given to super testers for testing on the live client, usually within 1 to 3 days of the patch that adds a new ship into the live client, the wiki page will be out. And you can go, it will not have, you know, it won't be filled in, but you can, if you want to just see the vital statistics on the ship, like you were saying, the how much health does it have, how much AA does it have, what are the torpedoes, what are the torpedo ranges, all of that is there, and you can see it all. And it's one of the weird contradictions right now that the community contributors that play these ships on streams or do videos about them on YouTube aren't allowed to show those statistics on their stream, but they're in the wiki. So it doesn't make any sense to me. But if you're interested in that stuff, it's all there for you. As soon as the ship goes to the live client.
Right.
And that's what I do. That's how I'll see a ship being played, and I'll be like, oh, that looks pretty cool. Let me look at, you know, how well you do, you know, in a carrier division or, you know, et cetera, things like that. And I don't think a lot of people know, but you can, when I browse the wiki, and I always like see little mistakes and stuff like that, but a lot of people don't know that they could, you know, message you guys, or even in certain cases they can fix the information themselves. Can you go a little bit in detail about that, or explain about that process?
Yeah, sure. So if you've got 100 games played on your account, you're eligible to do wiki edits. And the short version is that if you see something you want to fix, you know, sometimes it's something as simple as a typo. I've had people come in and just fix those. At the top of the page, any particular page you're looking at, you'll see a button. If you're logged in on your Wargaming account, it'll say edit. You can click that, and then the code for the page will come up. As long as you don't get too crazy, I mean, if you're just making a couple of changes or you're adding some lines of text or something, all you have to do is hit that in, you know, type that in. Down towards the bottom, there is a button that says preview, and you can click that button, and then it'll show you what the page will look like after your edit is done, but it won't actually publish the change until you click the button marked publish. So it's a really easy way. If you can just come in and you can browse, you can play around with page configurations. If you want to just add something or change something, you can see what that looks like, and you can always just hit cancel and decide you don't want to do it after all. Eventually, one of the wiki staff will come in behind you and patrol that page to make sure that the edit you've done is correct and legible and all that sort of thing. We do occasionally have to clean up spam or vandalism, but it's a fairly minor thing. Most of what we've got, most of the interaction we have with is people coming in and genuinely trying to improve the pages. Sometimes their English is not great, so we will endeavor to fix that so that it's legible. We realize not English is not everyone's first language, so it's not a big deal. We just come in and make some adjustments.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I, generally speaking, when I see something, I always forward it to Doomlock. I say, "Hey, Doomlock, there's this thing over here." So he's been my point of contact on those kind of things.
Yeah, considering I myself joined the wiki team actually not too long ago. I think it was just before Thanksgiving last year. And we were actually still in the middle of just in the beginning episodes of the podcast. So I actually changed to being one during it. And it was funny. One of the earlier episodes we were doing with Vass and Dominic, there's something about the special flags and the promotional flags that I actually hadn't realized that, you know, the wiki had a list of all of them. So later on down the road, Raptor is listening to this new podcast, he's telling me, and he's like, "And Doomlock over here didn't even know we had this section on the wiki."
What? The best part of that story was Voss, because Voss didn't know that page existed, and he, after recording that episode, he PM'd me in Discord. He goes, "Okay, did you do this, or is this really in the game?" The whole thing about the season, that was the season 3 Warship Supremacy League championship flag, the text on the flag is Rickrolling, right? It's the text on it is the lyrics of Never Gonna Give You Up. And he didn't believe it. He thought I had done that. And I said, "No, man, that is what's in the game." Yep. That is cut and pasted out of the game code. He thought it was hilarious.
Oh, I found it hilarious too. It's like kind of semi came back to bite me. It's like, "I didn't know something about the wiki. I've become a wiki editor." So you didn't know this about the wiki, huh?
Yeah, that was funny. I gave Doom a little crap after that. I was like, "Wait a minute, you're a wiki editor and you didn't know we had a flag page?"
Hey, I mean, it was technically before I became one.
Well, fine.
That is a perfect segue into our next segment. And as Sea Raptor, since he has been listening, he knows it's called Tell Me Something I Don't Know. So it's going to be a little bit interesting because these guys are actually in charge of the wiki and they know all the stuff. But I challenge you. You guys have 1 minute. Go on the wiki now and find something. This does not include Doomlock. I know your wiki editor.
Okay, I was about to say, do you want me to do this or what?
This time you're a co-host and it's these guys. So you guys have 1 minute. Find something really interesting. Let's hear what it is.
Something interesting on the wiki page?
Yep. So just an interesting fact, you know, I'm not going to, you know, double check or anything like that, but generally speaking, you know, demonstrably true and it's interesting. And then after that, we'll see whose fact that we like the most, etc.
Okay.
Well, when you got to tell them when to start, Hella.
Yeah, you guys can start now, I guess. I'm not policing you guys on this second.
How about the fact that it only took me about a year to find the page that Sea Raptor made for me?
Oh,
I'm kind of hurt right now.
You made it on the 16th of February, and I found it on the 8th. So almost a full year.
Your user page, right?
Yes, my user page.
Yep.
That says Karma Whore and Scrub Mode Extraordinaire.
That's right. That's exactly what that page says. I remember now. Well, I figured if you weren't using it, we should go ahead and put something in there.
Well, I appreciate that.
No, I'm not hearing that in your tone. I don't think you appreciate that at all.
Oh, gosh. You guys, sometimes.
Don't worry. I'll find a way to get even. I always do.
I'm sure you will.
it is kind of true that I think, what are you up to now? Up 1,000, 300, 500 karma?
Karma?
Oh, you better keep more. Going.
Keep
you better keep going.
Oh my.
You ain't even close, buddy.
Wow, okay.
You didn't see the screenshot he posted when he had 1,337 karma?
That's
my signature.
That's when I last seen it.
Yeah,
seen
he's past that now.
Now, to be fair, I've heard that there are others that have the same amount, if not more than me, yeah. Believe it or not. So I'm definitely not the highest.
I'm debating whether or not I'm going to believe it or not.
All right, I'm ready. I've got one.
Fem, I believe, has a number approaching Zath's.
She's above 1,700, at least that's what she said. So
Zath was his own page. What did you find, Raptor?
This is, again, another one that most people don't know because they probably don't get to this far down the page. But on the commander page, at the very, very bottom, there is a table that lists the actual rank titles by nation of all the different ranks in the game. You know, as you level up a captain through 1 point or 3 points or 10 points or whatever, their actual rank changes. You know, the U.S. rank will move from lieutenant to commander to commodore and so on and so forth. So there's a table at the bottom of that page that's got everything on it. Mm-hmm. What most people probably don't know was the Pan-Asian line up until about 4 months ago had a bunch of titles that were mostly in, I believe, Chinese. And about the same time that all the giant train wreck came about with how the Pan-Asian ships were going to be tagged and named and, you know, flagged and everything else, those were all removed, and now they literally share the exact same rank structure as the British and the Commonwealth ships.
Ah, yeah.
Most people don't.
I knew, I kind of was able to notice that it did, like, in-game, I could see that it kind of stacked up every so often, like, especially with USA one. I'm a Navy brat, so I'm aware of the Navy side of things anyway. So it definitely made sense when I noticed, like, well, he's not a lieutenant commander anymore, and he's now a commander and captain, et cetera, et cetera. I definitely noticed it on, like, the forums and stuff like that.
So anyways, it's not really relevant. Like, this is not, like, critical to gameplay, but it's fun info.
It's one of those little touches about the game that makes it just that much better.
It's something that I don't know, yeah.
Yep, there you go.
Well,
something you didn't know.
It's hard. This one's hard, too. But
one has comedic factor, the other has cool touch about the game, plus, look, you could scroll down here.
Exactly. Or you can go to Zath's page here.
Aw, he changed it already.
Yes, I did. I'm not a scrub lord.
Oh my gosh. Anyways, I enjoyed Sea Raptors because I didn't even scroll down that far. I knew, like, the page was pretty long, but I had just thought it was kind of talking about XP down there, and I didn't really scroll all the way down. Wow, so I'm quite taken back by, because I noticed it in-game, like Doom said, but I haven't really knew the structure of it. Like, I didn't know that aspect of it, and now I can actually see it visually and go through the ranks and stuff, so that's pretty interesting.
You know what's really cool is I think this is what the third podcast that we've been invited to, and in each one the people that invite us they find something new about the wiki that they had no idea existed.
Yeah, I mean honestly, every episode that we've done this, I've found something new that I never knew, like, that was in the podcast.
I think I might have stumbled across Zath's user page at one point when I was just scrolling through, because I remember when you changed the on the Raptor, I remember when you changed the CC page when you linked all our names to their user, yes, their user pages. So it's kind of, I think I went through and looked at see what was on everybody's, and I found the one for Raptor at the time. So Zath.
Yep. There's actually an Easter egg on that page, by the way, that no one's ever found. Have fun with that. On the community contributor page.
Interesting. I'll definitely look into that for sure.
It's very specific, but it's very hard to find too. But enjoy.
Doom, which one did you like better?
As much as the comedic factor is, I think I do like that there is the commander ranks, all of them listed there, which is just a cool little note that will be always like, because you'll never remember, like, you'll call people captains or admirals or whatever randomly, but, you know, there is a list, there is a, like, hierarchy to them. And this is actually, I think, pretty accurate to real life, too, so.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's always amazes me every time I do this segment, it was something new. But I really want to thank these guys for coming on the podcast and talking to us about it. And hopefully we'll have you guys on more on other things and, you know, Wiki again and stuff like that. There's always going to be more episodes / more content to come out.
And you can wrangle some of the other, maybe one or two of the other editors on here at one point.
Yeah, you probably can. Zath and I have done a couple of these. That's why he was my first pick to bring him along. But I mean, you know, we've got, I think there's 13 editors on staff now. That sounds right. You know, if you want to have a few of them on, go for it. You know, they can talk bad about me. It's cool.
you'll find out, right? Maybe I'll...
First order business.
Oh, guys, thank you guys so much.
Just don't bring Personator. It'll just be nothing. It'll be nothing but hentai spam for an hour.
Shots fired! Wow.
Hey, I said that live on King of the Sea streaming like last weekend or the weekend before. So he's already heard it.
Wow.
Thanks so much, Sea Raptor. I know you have to go, and I really appreciate you coming by and stopping by and saying hello and giving us all this info.
Anytime, guys. I appreciate you giving us the chance to spread the word. We do a lot of hard work, but we don't have quite the visibility that some of the other CCs do. So whenever somebody gives us the chance to kind of get the word out, I like to do that because, you know, like I said, there's a dozen other people and myself working on this. We all put in a lot of effort, and it's a great team, and they deserve a little bit of recognition from time to time.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I mean, almost 2 years of just craziness of looking at the wiki and stuff, and I think to me the greatest measure of success was when Pigeon said, you know, he wanted to get at least some of the pages to appear first when you do a Google search for a certain ship, and I think he used Cleveland as his gold standard. And when we started this, it came up, I think, on page 4 was where the wiki came in. And now I think he said it was like 4th on the first page or something like that. And it's just awesome to hear that you can just go to Google, do a search for USS Cleveland, and the World of Warships wiki comes up as one of the first hits.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've had so many times where I've searched, you know, a certain ship on Google, and I actually expect the wiki to come up, and it does come up. So it's like, yeah, it's definitely, I think he's achieved that goal for sure.
All right, guys, I got to run. I appreciate it. Thanks again, and good luck with the rest of the casting.
See you later, after. You.
See you.
See ya.
So, Zath.
God, I hate that guy.
Again.
Why am I not so...
Oh, jeez. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there. What's up?
You're fine. That wraps up our episode for today. I think you guys were awesome. It was awesome to have Nico on and bid him farewell and have him say goodbye to the community. And hopefully we can see more of these weird guys on. And we always have Doomlock here, so...
You always have one wiki editor on.
Yeah, exactly. All the time. We have one wiki
editor. Here you go.
Yes. But thanks, guys, for tuning into the episode and everything that we've talked about. Everybody's contacts, the wiki stuff, Lord Zath's special page on the wiki. we'll all be in the show notes. So we'll catch you guys later, and fair seas out there.
Thank you. See you later.